it's through the cross that we are forever His. That's what's so important to remember. If you can go back through those words for a second, Joseph. We just sang those. I don't know if they were singable to you or if you missed it. How many are able to sing this song as you're looking up there? Or is it still too new? You getting it? Your blood shed for me, my hope, eternity. Your grace shown to me gives me life. Now I see. Now watch what happens. Your broken body, it's my healing. Your sinless blood gives me redemption. Healing and redemption are in the blood. It's amazing. Communion's way more than you think it is. Your chosen suffering. Jesus chose to suffer for us. There was a conference in heaven before you and I were born. They saw this coming. It was no surprise. And Jesus said, I'll go. I'll do it. Choose me. That's exactly what happened. It's in the Word. And your chosen suffering brings perfect life to me. If you're in Christ, you have that perfect life. Lord, your sacrifice has made me whole. Oh, don't miss this. When we take communion, there's so much more going on here. Look at the next one. Through the cross, I am forever yours. That is sealed. That is done. That is Christ. That's what He did on the cross. It is finished. Your love poured on me with the oil of your Spirit. Keep going. The anointing, breaking fear. I'm alive. I am free. Yay. Yay. Your broken body is my healing. Your sinless blood gives me redemption. Watch this. This is a holy moment with you. This is a holy moment with you. I open my heart to all you want to do. Is your heart open to all He wants to do this morning? Open your heart. I still my soul to remember the cross. It's so easy to not remember the cross. It's so easy to take our transformation for granted. It's so easy to take Jesus for granted. That's why we do communion. That's why we pause. Don't miss this. This is holy. This is a holy moment with Him where you took all my shame and you restored all I lost. This is a holy moment with you, and I open my heart to all you want to do. I still my soul to remember the cross, where you took all my shame and you restored all I lost. How? Your broken body, that's my healing. Your sinless blood, that's my redemption. Right there. Your chosen suffering brings perfect life to me. Lord, your sacrifice has made me whole. If you're in Christ, you're whole. You're missing nothing. You have everything you need for life and godliness through Jesus Christ. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you've not said, look, I need you, do it today. Let this be your moment, your holy moment with Him. There's no reason to resist this. His broken body, His blood spilled, set you free, gave you new life, gave you a hope for eternity. Through the cross, I am forever yours. Through the cross, I am forever yours. You're not going to lose that. Nobody's going to take it away from you. Oh, I know you've been stupid. I know there's been times where you wandered away. I know you've done ridiculous things. He knows it, and He loves you. In that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You're no surprise to Him. He didn't go, well, that one I can't deal with. That one's too big. That one's too insane for me to even deal with. He said, no, I covered it all. I covered it all. Oh, my goodness. This is a holy moment with you. I open my heart to all you want to do. I still my soul to remember the cross where you took all my shame and restored all I lost. Through the cross, I'm forever yours. Through the cross, I'm forever yours. Thank you, Jesus. Man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Julie. Now you want to sing that song? You think it'd have a little different meaning now? We're going to sing it at the end after we've jumped into this full communion. Have you taken communion before? Have you been around the Lord's Supper? Well, of course you have. Have you taken it mindlessly? Have you taken it frivolously? Have you taken it religiously? Rote. It's what we do. Let's see, it's the first 5 minutes of the first Sunday of each month, so we got to get that done. Boom, boom. You get a little cracker, get a little thimble full of juice, and there we did our communion. Thank you, I'm good. Well, hopefully, you're grasping that it's deeper than that. It's not some little religious activity. And God was so brilliant when he said, let's make it with crackers and juice. Let's make it with bread and wine. Let's do this thing. See, they're going to forget. They're going to forget. You died on that cross. Your guts were ripped out. Your heart was broken. Your blood was spilled out so that they might have redemption, so they might have a wonderful eternity. Yeah, but they're going to forget it. It's true, they will. They'll forget it. They'll take it for granted even. What if we instituted some kind of a thing where you can't forget it? Where it. Let's have them do a parade or let's have no, that's going to be too hard. You're going to have a lot of apparatus. You know, we want something simple. Oh, we could have like a carrot cake and No. It's got to be more simple. It's got to be simple. What are we doing every day? Well, we're always eating bread and wine. Let's do it with that. Well, those are such basic things. They're just part of life. Exactly. That every part of life points to me. That everything they do reminds them. Remember his sacrifice. Let's do it with bread and with wine. They can get a hold of that. And if they can't get it, they can use Wheat Thins and Kool-Aid. That, people do that. The idea is there's the loaf and there's the juice representing the body and the blood. Yeah, that's something they can do in any culture, at any time, anywhere in the whole universe. They can do that. Let's do that. And they still forget. But that's how simple he made it. And it's so simple that we can forget it. It's so simple that we can just go about our life. It's so simple that we can make it into a ritual that we punch our religious time clock and, you know, we get out before the game starts. Yay. I don't have any problem with getting out before the game starts. That's not my concern. My concern is that we glibly pass over this thing we call the Lord's Supper, communion, the Eucharist. Any of you guys come from high church background, Catholic, Lutheran? Yeah? You know what it was like. Now, those times were different. Yeah, if you were Catholic or Lutheran or some of the high churches, that's a whole different kind of a thing. It's extremely sacred, if you want. It's extremely holy or religious. Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not dissing it because I think a lot of those traditions actually honor communion more than the evangelicals do. We kind of do it glibly. And sometimes we do it once a quarter. You know, as long as we do it, let's do it four times a year. So once every quarter, we'll put it in there. Yeah, let's do that. At least we can put it on our thing. We as a church do communion. Yeah, let's do that. So there are two sacraments in the church today. Do you know what they are? A sacrament, that's just kind of a holy moment, something that we hold on to, it's meaningful. What are the two sacraments? Baptism and communion. I also think marriage is a sacrament. I really do. And the way we approach marriage should be that holy. And I think we've lost it, you know. I like to keep that holy too. But these things are given to us by God so that we remember who we are and who he is. And this high church idea of communion. Let's say you're in a Catholic church. And they do it different if you've been to various Catholic churches. I'm Italian. Of course, I've been to a Catholic church. The Pope is Catholic. He used to say that, you know. Is the Pope Catholic? Well, he was up until we had a, you know, a Polish Pope, and then that ruined everything. Now we've had popes from every place, and that's cool. Is the Pope Catholic? Well, look, the Catholic thing is a lot of times you don't touch anything. The priest is the go-between between you and God, and the priest will, you'll come forward, and sometimes with a pair of tweezers, or what do you call those things? Tongs. He'll reach in and he'll grab this wafer. Have you ever done this? You open your mouth, put your tongue out, and he lays that wafer on your tongue. Anybody ever done that? It's awesome because it just melts. It melts. It's like made out of wafer paper. I don't know what it is. Puts it on there, gone, and then you get to have a sip out of the common cup, and then he wipes it with a little towel. That's really healthy. You get a sip, and then he wipes it with a little towel, and then you get a sip, and he wipes it with a little towel. It's like, dude, you're just spreading those germs all over. Yeah. But you know what? Does that matter? I don't think so. I wonder what they did during COVID. Must have been a tough thing. How are we going to do it? Well, I know what we did. We got these tiny little cups that were sealed and had a little piece of stuff on top that was the most horrible thing you ever had. This is how we're going to do communion. Remember that? So some of these high church settings where you're doing that, and I think that what they're trying to accomplish in the Catholic setting is to set this apart. It's different. And so when they do the wafer and when they do the goblet, the priest is representing God or representing you to God. So he's the go-between. You got you, you got God, and you got the priest. And the priest is going to administer the elements and do the sacrament for you because you're not holy enough to approach God. It's a holy moment where you reflect. And a lot of people think if you do it wrong, you'll get sick and die. And they get that out of some parts in Corinthians. We can talk about that. But that's high church, right? The problem with that is you still got this go-between, this priest. We're prophets, priests, and kings. There is no longer a priestly class unless you're in one of those odd traditions which don't care about the Bible anymore. They're doing man's thing. So I don't mean to diss anybody, but when you got priests, you're missing out on what's going on. You get what I'm saying? You get to go because when Jesus died on the cross, his body broken ripped that veil which separated the holy place from the holy of holies. You know, we've talked about this before, but it's an amazing visual. See, God keeps giving us these visuals so that it's not just some foreign thing, some religious thing. He gives us visuals that are very real to us and to a Jewish world where they're seeing this lamb's neck cut every time, every week, every year, the blood sprinkled on the Holy of Holies. And it's so holy that if you do it wrong, you die right in that room. You got to go behind this big, thick veil that's 40 feet tall, 6 inches wide, and who knows how wide this way, but 6 inches thick. You can't tear something like that. It's woven upon woven upon woven. It's an amazing thing. And so this veil that separates the holy place, not the outer court, the holy place, that's a pretty different place, from the Holy of Holies. Only one guy gets to go in there ever, once a year. And in there is the Ark of the Covenant. In there, inside the Ark of the Covenant, when you open the lid, you have the Ten Commandments, right? The actual tablets. We have those. They had those. You have the rod of Aaron that budded. And you have an ephod full of manna. The funny thing about manna, you try to save it, it turns to worms. It rots instantly. But this was a holy jar of ephod full of manna, the bread of heaven, God's provision for his people. And every one of those things represented an aspect of God's holiness. And then over that was a golden lid called the mercy seat. And there were two cherubim on either side of this thing. Cherubim, angels, their wings spread over. So there were two, one here and one here, with their wings spread over. And over this mercy seat, and therein was the Shekinah glory of God. I don't know what that was. It was pretty awesome. But I've seen movies where they depict this glowing, you know. It was awesome. God's holy presence. Now, God doesn't live in a glowing ball. God doesn't live in a box. But he did these visuals so we could get a sense of his awesomeness. And there was this place that the priest goes in once a year, and he sprinkles special blood in there. And he does it just right, and if he does it wrong, he dies. And they, you know, they pull him out with a rope, right? Nobody's going in there. So if Elijah drops, too bad, he did it wrong. Who's next? You know? Pretty amazing awe. Pretty amazing thing. Then Jesus dies on the cross. The veil is ripped, it says, from top to bottom, not from bottom to top. From top to bottom, what's that signify to you? God did the ripping. No man can reach up there and rip it. And even from down below, I think you could tie a team of horses on this side and a team of horses on that side, and I think this thing will hold together. That's what I'm thinking. And yet it was ripped. What does that symbolize? Access. You're in. No go-between. No priest. No magic blood, nothing, just straight access. Access to the Holy of Holies. Everyone had it now. That's what we're celebrating when we do this. We're celebrating access. We're celebrating God's incredible provision. Now, pause that for a second. Go all the way back to the first Passover. Do you remember this? The first Passover was held in what country? Where? Egypt. They were all slaves in Egypt, and God was going to set them free. And remember, Pharaoh was a real big fat jerk, and he kept saying, yes, no, just kidding, psych, yes, no, psych, over and over. And God sends plagues. He's teaching them a lesson. Finally, he says, let my people go. Remember, Moses was, let my people go. No, no, no. Finally, God says, tonight's the night. Here's what's going to happen. This special angel, the death angel, is going to fly over the entire camp. The entire country of Egypt. This death angel is going to come over. And the firstborn is going to die. Can you imagine what a horrific thought that is? For tomorrow, Billy Bob's going to die. What? All of your firstborn is going to die. End of your cattle. End of your sheep. End of everything. Showing God's absolute serious nature about this stuff. About holiness. About his people. Pharaoh kept playing games. And his heart got harder and harder. And God just gave him over to it. Man, don't play with God. Don't resist. Because I think sooner or later your hearing aid just goes dead. And no more God. Hear the voice of God? Today, if you hear his voice, say yes. Today, if God's pulling on your heart, jump in, because there may not be a tomorrow for you. You might get in a car wreck. He might come back. You might just go deaf. And see, it seems like, spiritually speaking, we do go spiritually deaf. We harden our hearts, and we keep pushing God away till he says, I wanted you. No, thank you, got it. But got it. And this is how the world is now. They've pushed God away, and they've hardened their hearts, and they become Democrats. No, I'm just kidding you. Well, that happens, man. Sometimes we just go blind. And so in this setting where this Passover was coming, he said, I'll tell you what. The death angel's coming, but if you take the blood of a lamb, and it's got to be a pure lamb. It's got to be a pure lamb. A lamb that's no spot or wrinkle. It's not the crappiest lamb of your flock. Is it called a flock with lambs? It is, huh? You got a little flock. So we go through and go, hey, get that one. He's limping. Yeah, let's use that one. No. You take the prettiest, shiniest, most beautiful one. That's for God. You're not going to offer him your broken stuff. You're going to offer him your best. Oh, God. And you know what they used to do? They would take that lamb and they'd bring it in the house and it would sleep with the family for 4 days. Just hang out. We have puppies. We have pets. You sleep with your pet, you get pretty close. You love that pet. Your sheets stink, but that's the cost of having your pets in bed. You get fleas. But they take this lamb, this beautiful lamb, and they bring it in, and they pet it, and the kids play with it, and then they go, and tomorrow it goes, and it's the sacrifice, saying that thing we love, that thing that's pure, that thing that's perfect, was sacrificed for your sins. Now this Passover thing that happened in Egypt is if you sacrifice that lamb and you put the blood on the doorpost, isn't this weird? This is weird, but it's an image, right? So the doorpost is the entry to your house, the entry to your family, the entry to your heart, the entry to everything you hold dear and sacred. And you put this blood, the sacrificial lamb, and you put that blood over the doorpost of your family, your heart, your home. The death angel comes and he's going to kill the firstborn in every house. And he comes and he goes, blood, blood, not there, not there. There's none there. Then it tells us that the enemy roams around like a roaring lion seeking who he can destroy, right? He's constantly seeking who he can destroy. Well, that means there are some of those that can't be destroyed, right? And who are those? You and me in Christ. You and me, as we're in our identity in Christ, we're in Christ, and here comes Satan and wanting to destroy you, kill, steal, and destroy. That's his whole thing. And guess what? He can't do it. Blood on the doorpost of your heart. And so the death angel passed over Egypt, and you heard throughout the camp, horrible. Man, can you believe it? Barry, would you do me a favor and flip on those lights? I just realized we're still in the dark. Now, we got Jesus. He says, come out of the dark. Come into the light. Let there be light, brother. Hallelujah. God is good. Now we can see. That night, can you imagine the wailing, the heartache? Because the Egyptians didn't put the blood on the doorpost. And the next day, Pharaoh said, not only can you go, but get out of here. Get out of here. And so they left, and they were set free from the land of captivity, the land of bondage. They were set free to the promised land through the blood on the doorpost. It's exactly what communion is. Remembering the blood on the doorpost. Remembering Jesus' death on the cross. Remembering the Lamb of God who died to wash away our sins. It's exactly the same story as way back in Egypt. God is setting you free. God is transforming you. God has made you new. God has given you a new life. And now the death angel has to pass over. That's good news. And then he rips that curtain and he gives us full access to the Holy of Holies, within which is the Ark of the Covenant, which has the law. But what's covering the law? Mercy. You're not under law anymore. Law's under mercy. You've been set free from the law. It's been fulfilled in Christ. That's why he says it is finished. Jesus came to fulfill the law. So in Christ, you're not under law. You're under grace, mercy, God's riches at Christ's expense. Isn't that fantastic? We're under mercy. So now we come in, that curtain torn, no priest required. We come straight in to him, and the sprinkling of that blood, that happened in our hearts. And we celebrate it when we take the juice. We celebrate the blood of Christ. We celebrate the Passover. We celebrate the sprinkling of the blood. We celebrate the ripped curtain. We celebrate the presence of God. We get to celebrate. Now, a lot of people like this to be a very solemn, introspective, contemplative thing, and I do too. I really like doing that. But what I like to be solemn about, what I like to be contemplative about, is what I'm talking about right now. Not searching my heart to see if there's any sin there. Good luck, Christian. It ain't there. Because it says you've been made new, that he's washed away your sin and separated your sin from you as far as the east from the west. Am I doing that right? Is that east and west? Hey, I'm aligned with the compass. East, west. east-west. I'm finally getting it. Why didn't he say separate it as far as the north from the south? Why didn't he say that? Because north becomes south. South becomes north. It's a very short distance. But east and west is eternity. He has separated your sin eternally from you. You will never pay the price for your sinful actions. Does sin have consequences? Yeah. Now, I'm not saying you can go sin that grace may abound. May it never be. But I am saying that eternally, there is no eternal consequences to your stupidity today. That was covered by the blood of Christ. Now you have absolute freedom. You can sin if you choose. If you want to, go for it. And then tell me how that went for you. I doubt you're going to come back and go, man, I've been sinning all week and it's been a great week. Not if you're in Christ. If you're not a believer, trust me, that was a party. Go have fun. But you're going to pay some consequences. It's going to beat you up. It's going to beat up your relationships. It's going to ruin you. But go for it. If you think that's a better way to go than righteousness, hallelujah. But if you think you can get righteous just by being good, think again. The only righteousness that we have access to is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And in Christ, you are now righteous. But you don't know. I really did do some dumb stuff this week. Yeah, well, stop it. What? Yeah, you have free will. If you're a believer. If you're not a believer, you better pray to God that he transforms your heart. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that old things have passed away, all things have become new, right? You're completely made new if you're in Christ. If you're not, you need Jesus right now. You're never going to change, and you know that. Look at you. How long have you been doing the same dumb things over and over and God, I can't get a grip on this. I know you need Jesus. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and his transformation, by and by, you begin to apply the reality of your new nature. You don't have that old sin nature. You have a new nature. It's Christ. You start walking that way and you start maturing in this beautiful thing called a Christian. This beautiful thing called a new man. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you love that? You're a new man, even you women. You're new women. You're mighty in Christ. So that's why we celebrate communion. That's what's happening when we take this. That's a lot. It's so easy to not catch that. It's so easy to go, yeah, I know, I know. I've heard this, I know. You know this. Have I said anything you haven't heard before? No. Have I heard anything that's new to you? Absolutely not. I don't think a pastor's job is to constantly teach you new stuff you've never heard. Pastor's job is to remind you what you know. Is to remind you what you know. Right? Right? Yeah. And you know, I'll tell you ever been a coach? You're coaching a basketball team or a soccer team, you're coaching them, and the kids do the dumbest thing, and you go, what was that all about? You need to, and he goes, I know, coach, I know. It was just some bad habits that came into play. I know. So you're just reminding them what they already know. If you've done your job, when you get to the game, you can't re-coach them. You can just go, oh, Lord. You know, if you've been a coach, you know during the game you're yelling at the kid. They can't even hear you. They're deaf. They're just, duh. You know. You know your dog goes deaf when he's running after that rabbit or whatever. Their eye gate is dialed in. Their ear gate gets turned off. Did you know that? That's psychologically true. You got to get their attention. In the same way, when we do our stupid stuff, we can sometimes go deaf to the reality of who we are. We can go blind to what Christ has done for us, forget the whole thing and run off and do this thing. And you come back and go, I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I did that. And your wife can go, huh, it's because you're stupid. And you go, you know what? Sometimes I am. Sometimes I just do dumb things because I'm playing old tapes and I'm thinking I'm that guy from then, but I'm not. I've been transformed. How do you know? I just took communion. I remember what Christ did on the cross. Oh, did communion make you holy? Did communion purify you? Did communion make you better? Not even a little. It's just bread and wine. That's all it is. There's nothing magic about communion. But what it symbolizes is magic. That's God stooping down and breaking through and pulling you out of your dumbness, pulling you out of darkness and into light, pulling you into his arms and saying, I love you. And sometimes we resist that because you go, how could you love me? How could you love me? Do you know me? Do you? He says, I know you better than you know you. And I love you. And when you start realizing how much he loves you, even in your sinful state, even though we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, you recognize that even as a sinner, Christ died for you, that's when you go, take me. I'd rather be here than any place else in the world. There's no place safer than in the arms of Jesus. There's no place more wonderful than in the arms of Jesus. There's no place that you're going to get fulfilled than in the arms of Jesus. Oh, you think that that little thing you like to do is fulfilling? No, it's not. You know it. Stop it, Christian. Now, as a non-believer, pretty tough to stop it. You have a sin nature. You know, that's your nature. That's what you're designed to do. We're made new. We have a Christ nature. We're designed to be holy. We're designed to walk with him. We're designed for righteousness. And when we do righteous things, it is play. It is fun. That's why I always say go play. If you know who you are, walking with Christ is a joy. It's play. If you don't know who you are, then walking with Christ is a chore. It's religious. Gotta be holy. Gotta be holy. Well, give that up. So when we come to communion, we're celebrating so much. We're celebrating massive history. We're celebrating thousands of years of God saying, remember who you are. Remember who you are. I love 2 Peter where Peter says to them, he says, you know, he tells them these things. And he says, and I'm going to keep reminding you. Chapter 1, I'm going to keep reminding you. Why? Because one day I'm going to be dead and there might not be somebody here to remind you. And that's the job of a pastor. But guess what? We all should remind each other. We're all pastors. We're all God's people. We're all shepherds. So as we come to this table today, I hope that each element, everything we do, that we do, we can so easily do this as a religious act. We can so easily make it into something where we search our heart and we look and see, do we have any sin or have we messed up this week? Oh, God, forgive me. I can be so dumb. Oh, let me just dial in right here. Okay, God, do you see my heart? Is it holy? Did I ask forgiveness for the right things? And God's going, really? There's like 19 things you did that you don't even remember. So if it's about you remembering and confessing it and me cleansing you, you're minus, you're going down. But thank God we're not on that kind of relationship with him. Thank God that your sin is separated from you as far as the east is from the west. It's not about you remembering it and confessing it and clicking it off and go, oh, got that sin and that sin, because he's going to go, what about these? Well, I didn't even know I did those. Yeah, right. There's sins of commission. There's sins of omission. And there's stuff that you just plain forgot. You just do it and you don't even know. And God said, I'm not here to talk to you about your sin. I'm here to talk to you about my righteousness. I'm here to talk to you about my forgiveness. I'm here to talk to you about your new life. So on this Communion Sunday, we're not here to beat you up and remind you how wicked you are, how stupid you can be. We all know that. But what I want you to know is in Christ, you're a new creation. And when God sees you, guess what he sees? When God looks at you, what does the Bible say that he sees? What? A new creature. He sees Jesus Christ. He literally sees, because you're in Christ, right? Right? And that's the amazing thing. If I take this thing and I put this, let's say this was the Bible, and I put this in there, can you see it? No, because it's in Christ. Still there. Still does. Nope. It's in Christ. And when I see you, when I look to you, I just see the Word of God. I see Jesus. I see you're covered. You're covered in the righteousness of Jesus. So when God looks at you, he doesn't see you. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. That's not a game he's playing with himself, peekaboo. It's a reality. You're in Christ. You're protected. You're covered. You're new. Now, start living like that. If that's who you are, then be that. Quit fiddling around with unrighteous activities and stupid thoughts. Quit playing those tapes and say, no, get out. Stop it. Now, if you're not a believer, good luck. You're never going to win that battle. You can't, because your nature is to do those wicked and evil and selfish things. Now, I know a lot of non-believers who I love They're not wicked and evil.
I've hung out with them. They're fun people. They're loving. They're kind. Are they wicked? Are they evil? Well, when it comes to salvation, yeah, they've rejected Christ. And that's the most wicked and evil thing you can do, is say, thanks, but no thanks. You get what I'm saying? That's the wicked evil. It's not the deeds. You're not going to follow them around and find all these wicked, evil deeds. There's some people that have worked really hard to look pretty, to do good things, and they look holy. They go to churches where at their church they're an elder or they're a deacon, and they look holy. Are you one of those? Are you a game player? Because God's saying, I'm not about games, man. I'm about setting you free. I'm about you walking in the joy of real transformation, not some religious holiness, some mask you put on Sunday, some role you play in the public's eye. I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for a role. I'm looking for you to let me love you. Depart from me, I never knew you. In other words, depart from me, you never let me in. Have you let him in? I see you guys. I would venture to say the answer to that question is yes. But I don't know your heart. Only God does. I don't know where you're really at with Christ, but today I want to offer you an opportunity to say, you know what? I have been really good at playing church. I have been really good at trying to be holy. And sometimes I believe it. I've fooled my wife. I've fooled some of my friends, and sometimes I fool myself. But God says, you don't fool me. You don't fool me. I don't know you. But I did this in your name. I did that in your name. I was at the and I did it. And he said, I don't know you. I want to know you. Does God know you? Have you let him in? And that word know is a very specific word. That word know, Adam knew Eve and had a child. It's a different kind of know. That's an intimate knowledge. That's all. I got in. I know you. I planted my seed within you. Has God had the freedom to enter you? Are you going to let him in? And this is the question. Folks, I know everyone sitting here, I've had conversations with you. You seem Christian to me, but I'm not the judge, thank God. He is. You can't fool him. Today, and we're going to take communion. And you might even say as you're taking that, God, I don't think I've ever let you in. I've always kind of seen you as a little bit judgmental. You know what I'm saying? I've seen you as a little bit distant, and you kind of scare me. And I know if I let you in, you're probably going to want to take that away and take that away. And I like this and that. I'm not really willing to give that up right now. Okay, I get it. I get it. I was there. Before I came to Christ, I didn't come till I was 19, so I had thoughts. You know, I wasn't a little kid. I didn't come to Christ in Sunday school. I had a wrestling match with me and God. And there were some things I knew I would have to change, and I didn't want to. And then I started thinking, wait a minute. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? How stupid can I be? I'm holding on to these because I'm not holding on to him because I want to hold on to these. Listen, there's nothing in this universe that's more valuable, more precious, more transformational than Jesus Christ. And whatever these are, he will pay you back 100-fold. Whatever it is, let go. Give it up. Jump into Jesus right now. And as we come to this time of communion, please search your heart. This is where the searching happens. This is where you go, who am I? What am I doing? Really? Am I really a believer? Have I really jumped into Christ? Have I really let him in? If you haven't, oh, dear saint, and I can't even call you that if you're not a believer. Dear brother, sister, I can't even call you that. Dear fellow human being, I can't even call you that because you're less than human because you haven't really let the fullness of God in, and that's what humans were made to do. So I'm going to say, please listen. Please make that decision today. If you hear the Holy Spirit today and you're going, you know, I need to do this. Do it today while you hear his voice. Today is your day of salvation. Today is the day to come to Jesus. Today is the day to do business. And if you're just a religious Christian and you've been playing church here, you've been coming to the way for 20 years and you're very faithful and you're incredible, do you know Jesus? Have you let him love you? Right? That's the whole bottom line. This is eternity on the line. It's more important than the election, if it could be possible. It's more important than your job. It's more important than your career. It's more important than your bank account. It's even more important than your kids. Where are you with Christ? Lord, I pray that you'd protect us right now. Put your angels all about this place, that the enemy can't mess with us and lie to us and deceive us and keep us entrapped anymore. Set people free right now. Open the eyes of our heart that we may see who you are, the height and depth and width and breadth of your love and your grace. Almighty God, do some powerful, transformational, eternal work in the hearts of your people right now. Breakthrough. Set us free. If God's talking to your heart today, please don't resist him. And it doesn't have to be some loud, obnoxious, outgoing thing. It can be you and God in a private little conversation right now saying, yes, God, it's time. It's time. And so right now, today, let him love you. Let him slather his righteousness all over you. Let him wrap you in his grace. Let him pull you into his embrace. Let him have all those things that trouble you, that worry you, that concern you, and even those things that somehow mesmerize you and own your heart. Let it go. Let it go and jump into Jesus today, today, right now. You hear him. You know he's talking to you. You know it's time. You might say, dear Jesus, that guy's making sense to me. There's something about what he's saying now that just rings true. I can hear the voice of heaven speaking to my heart like I've never heard it before. Something's happening. Oh, something's happening, God. I don't get it, but I hear it. Oh, please don't let this slip through my fingers. Oh, Lord, I grasp onto you in Jesus' name. Come into my heart. Take over. I'm tired. I'm worn out, and I need you. And I thank you that you still love me after all of this. Thank you. Let him have you right now. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for that. You're working right now. Thank you for that. Receive it. It's yours. God's not holding anything against you. He's not holding anything back. He gave you his son. Now we're going to take communion together. We're going to take this blood, this bread. This is my body broken for you, he said. This is my blood spilt for you. It's the new covenant, a new relationship with me. It's a new way of dealing with me. And here's what it is. I love you and I want to bless you. And that's the whole contract. The old contract was, if you do good stuff, I'll bless you. If you do bad stuff, I'm not going to bless you. That's a tough contract to keep. The new contract, the new covenant in his blood is, let me just love you. But I got to do something, God. I got to do something. Nope, I did it all. It's a finished thing. It's time to just let me have you. You know, God, I was gonna, it felt good for a second right there. It felt good for a second. I was gonna, but I got some unfinished business with some relatives that I've got to pound this out. I've got to get something resolved in these issues before I can do that. No, you don't. He's got it. You're going to find freedom as soon as you let go of that stuff. Quit trying to get it right. You won't. Quit trying to do it right. You can't. Do you see that wrestling match? You're feeling it right now. And believer, Christian, you may be in bondage to some of this stuff that you've been holding on to forever. You're a believer. You know Christ. You came into the kingdom, but you're still trying to drive this thing. You're still trying to be in control. You still got some things you need to get fixed. Stop it. That's not fun. You'll never get it fixed, and you're not going to find freedom. You're a man or woman of God. You've been made new. You've been given authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and overcome all the power of the enemy. He can in no ways touch you. And yet you're sitting there like a snail without his shell, all tender and vulnerable. Why? Because you won't come under the blessing of Jesus Christ. You won't really let him cover you. You're still, as a believer, trying to hammer out life. Stop it. When you surrender and you rest, all that stuff's going to get done. It's the weirdest thing. That's where joy happens. That's where happiness comes in. That's where the joy of the Lord. And suddenly you find yourself smiling. And people go, what's wrong with your face? Oh, that's called a smile. I've never seen that before. Yeah, yeah. God wants to do that. He wants to do that. Wouldn't that be great? Is there a part of you that just hasn't smiled in a long time? Oh, your face may be smiling, but some part of you is not. Maybe you've lost somebody you love dearly, and it's just so heartbreaking. And you're so alone and empty, and you're just wishing that he'd be back. Grab onto Christ. He'll fill that hole. He'll fill that broken place. He promises. Let him. Maybe your kids are wandering and they're wayward and they're doing so stupid and they don't even like you anymore. And you raised them. How could this be? I don't know how. They're free agents. They get to make their choices. And you've probably done some dumb stuff. It is what it is. Don't let that own you. Don't let that define you. Let go of that stuff. Jesus says, give it to me. Give it to me. It may not get fixed, but you'll be fixed. You'll be free. What's happening, brother? Come here. Come here. Nick, I want to hug you, brother. Yeah. I hate to do this in public, but that's where it's happening. Well, I love you, brother. God loves you. And this stuff's going to get healed. It's going to get healed. Father God, you hear this man's heart. You hear the torment, the anguish, the years of agony. He wants something different, Lord. I don't know how that's going to happen, but I pray in his heart right now you meet him right here in this loneliness, in this brokenness, in this heartache. It's heartache. It can't be defined or even understood, but you understand him. Nick, God knows you. He knows the battle you're in. I pray you'd rest your peace upon Nick in a new and powerful way, and that something would be resolved in this story. It's your story, Lord. And I pray that your grace meets this situation right now in Jesus' name. And we just turn it over to you. We rest it in your hands. And we just pray this stuff in Jesus' name. And let's talk afterwards a little bit. I'm so glad you shared that. It's so meaningful to me. How many of you have gone through relational strife? Relational strife is the weirdest thing on earth. It makes no sense. There's something wrong with her. There's something wrong with him. The enemy will attack you there. And you want to change that other person. Dang, if they would only change. Why don't they change? And God's saying, it's not about them changing. It's about you changing. I need to change something in you. Every time you point your finger at them, God's saying, oh, you know that thing they say? There's three pointing back. I don't know what this one's doing. It's just watching. God's doing something. Nick, whatever God's doing right there, that's God. And he's doing something. You're going to have to sort that out, but we're going to pray together and continue that relationship. There's other ones. You know, so we can get distracted real fast by guys leaving or by cameras not working, and the enemy loves that. That's just when it has to go bad. It has to go bad right then. This was a holy moment with him. Now let's grab this communion. And let's do this thing. So why don't a couple of you gentlemen come up here? Or God is good. So we're going to pass out bread. So we're going to pass out the loaf. Jesus' body is what it represents. And we're just, you know, his body was just torn apart, just torn apart, just torn apart. And that's what that loaf represents, is his body being torn apart for you. It's a wicked thought when you think of it. If you've ever seen videos of what that might have looked like, it's not pretty. But as we take the loaf and as we pull apart off, we go, oh God, that must have hurt. But you did that for me. It says that he chose to do that for you. He chose to do that. So as you take that bread, hold it as sacred, hold it as dear. Rip it off and hold it. We'll take the bread together. So spread that out, please.
This bread, this wine, there are more than just symbols. Jesus said that this is his body. This is his blood. A new covenant for us. A new relationship between you and God. This Last Supper didn't take place sitting quietly in pews. There was no pinch of bread. No one took just a sip of wine. This was Passover. It was a celebration. This was a meal for the hungry and thirsty. It was for those whose bodies longed for that which sustains. They looked on with eagerness at Christ, who took the bread and wine, gave thanks. Even on the eve of his death, he said, "This is me, my body broken, my blood spilled. I am the Passover lamb." Not just for one people, for all people. My body and death can give life, and my blood is the blood that can save. Don't hesitate to take it. It's for you, for all who know they are sinners. Take it and die to sin. Heal your body with mine that was broken. Fill your heart with my blood poured out, and not just here, not just in these moments, but every time you gather, eat, and drink. Always give thanks and remember me.
That's what it is, remembering him. And as you remember him, remember him. Remember who he is, what he did. Remember his love for you, his passion for you. Remember Jesus loves you. Remember, he's on your side. He's in your corner. Remember. As we take this bread, remember his body broken for you. As we take this bread, remember, it says in Hebrews that this bread represents that veil torn. Do you realize that? It says that in Hebrews. This bread represents his body broken, which is that curtain being torn. For what? So that we can have access to the holiest holy of all holies, God himself, his heart, his very presence. That's not religious, man. That's real. That's what he did. So together, let's take some of this bread. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your body. Thank you that this is a simple, simple thing you let us do. All of us can do it all the time. Then we need it often. We're going to pass out some juice. And we're going to celebrate that as well. Keep your bread. Enjoy munching on it. Think about all that he's done for you. Thank you, Jesus. Going now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It's through your body and your blood. And we've just celebrated your broken body. What a funny thing to say, celebrate. And now we thank you for the blood that washes away our sin, that removes it as far as the east is from the west, that paid the price. It's the atonement. And through your blood, there's healing. Through your sacrifice, there's healing. So I just pray, Father, for those that are struggling with whatever they're struggling with right now, that there would be healing. Pour it out, Lord. May we receive it as we take this. So in Jesus' name, let's take this cup together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Ah, so simple. Bread,
juice, all the holiness of heaven. Amen. Now, guess what? We get to go eat. We get to go have a meal together, a love feast. I hope all of you can stay. I know some have to go. But let me tell you something. I'm going to pray for this meal right now, and I thank the Lord for it. Father, I thank you for this meal we get to share together. I pray that you'll bless everything in there to our bodies. Strengthen us by everything we eat. Make us stronger in Christ. Make us stronger physically. Make us stronger every way that we can be encouraged and built up and strengthened. Bless that food, Lord. It's a gift from you. There are people that don't ever get to eat. There are people that don't have a meal just waiting for them, and we get to go eat together. And this is so fun to do it as a family, Lord. We are the body of Christ. We are the family of God. We are the mighty army of the Lord. Oh, Lord, and we thank you for what you're doing here. Bless each person. Let your spirit move in a powerful, mighty way. May we receive that and not resist that. And may we fellowship more deeply than we have. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 With that, you're dismissed. Go warm up your stuff because I'm hungry. Now, don't forget, as you go out in Christ, go play. Amen.